My name is Joe Nygaard Owens. I am a Presbyterian minister, as I'm sure you all have heard, but it is such a delight to be here with you at the cathedral. Let me share a passage of scripture with you. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. These verses are from Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. And these are the heart of the scripture passage that I picked for my ordination almost 16 years ago. My 16th ordination anniversary is actually this coming Saturday. We call it an ordiversary. But these verses remind me that we are called, beloved, and never abandoned by God. They speak to me not of the rosy path set aside for all who follow God's way, but of God's presence through the inevitable turbulent waters. While every easy stretch of path is appreciated, it is the times of turbulence that shape who we are. That was the big introduction, and now I'm just going to talk. So I grew up in a Presbyterian church, and I was reflecting as we had the baptisms in worship this morning that actually one of my earliest memories, probably my very first memory, is of my baptism. I was 3 years old, so it's not like I'm remembering as a babe in arms, but I was 3 years old, and I was standing with my sister up on a platform at my parents' church. It was a new church development, far fewer than 100 people, maybe only 50 at that point, in a rented space. But these people sitting out there made promises to us to help us grow, to be our family in the church. And wow, they sure did. So the church and I grew up together. It was only about 5 years old when I was baptized at age 3. And it started from less than 100 people to when I left for college, there were more than 1,000. And we had this incredible, incredible youth program. And this was before the days of ordained youth ministers. So we had a team of parents who joined together, and we did service projects and study and went out and had a great time and went on retreat together. There was something special about that youth group because from, let's hear, my sister is 3 years older than me. From her age down, 2 years behind me, 7 of us became ministers.
Wow.
It was a special place.
Something in the water.
There was something in the water for sure. So my high school time was a little different than other youth. So I loved my church. I loved joining together. I was definitely, if there was something happening at church, I was going to be there. And if there was a leadership role I could take, I would take it. The other part of my high school time, I went into my freshman year of high school a week before that, having had reconstructive knee surgery. And then as I was finishing up my freshman year in high school, had another reconstructive knee surgery. Then I had a nervous system disease that affected the nerves in my knees, which some days I would have to miss school because I couldn't walk. And then I had a third reconstructive knee surgery. I should also say it was my dream to be a professional dancer. So it was a confluence, and this might give you another clue of the verse that I picked. But through that turbulence, through that sense of community at church, those were the times that I heard the first whispers of God's call on my life. I felt called to serve both my church and our presbytery. Presbyteries are like dioceses, on the Presbytery Youth Council and my church's youth council. I eventually ended up moderating both groups because I was that kind of geek. And I started helping to lead my first retreats. I was ordained as an elder in the Presbyterian Church. In the Presbyterian Church, you have teaching elders, which are the ministers of word and sacrament, and ruling elders, which are somewhat similar to a vestry, but take care of the governance of the church. And so I was ordained at the age of 17 and faithfully attended our board meetings. So the summer between high school and college, I had the most incredible experiences. I was chosen to be part of a keynote team for Montreat Youth Conferences. And if you've heard of Montreat, or if you haven't, it is a Presbyterian conference center in the mountains of North Carolina, about 30 minutes east of Asheville. It's pretty close to Canoga, if you're familiar with that. And every summer, youth from across the country and their leaders come and join for youth conferences. So many youth come that they divide it into 6 weeks of conferences. And they have leadership that takes on 2 weeks at a time. So there are three sets of leadership. And I got to be there for 2 weeks as part of a keynote team. And we shared stories and dramas, our own personal stories, with thousands of youth that summer. It was a life-changing experience, being able to minister in that way. And also the folks who ran our keynote team, they were a group called Theological Expressions in Arts Ministries team. And those adults shaped me. They were the first ones, not really, they had such a profound impact of saying, you belong here. Mm-hmm. And it was truly, truly incredible. I also had the privilege of serving as a recreation assistant. So at these youth conferences, you have people who lead keynotes in the morning, you have a preacher in the evening, you have music directors, and then you have what are called recreation assistants or recreation leaders. They are kind of the wild and crazy ones who are getting people to do dances together and planning group events. So I got to help out with that at another national conference. Now, as I went to college, I was looking for a place where I could dance because I was still dreaming of that future in dance despite all of the surgeries I'd had at that point. But I wasn't sure if it could be a full-time thing. So I wanted to have both dance and a really excellent education. So my freshman year in high school, I went to the College of William and Mary in Virginia. And as a freshman, I ended up maxing out the dance classes. So I was in the junior senior classes and choreographing in the junior senior show. And my professors looked at me and said, you don't need to be here. You need to go somewhere where you can major in dance. And so I said, okay, I'm up for something new. And so I auditioned again at places where I could have a very strong education, especially as a fallback if needed, and also a place with a wonderful major. The University of Georgia offered me a spot in the company when I auditioned, so that's where I went. Never thought I'd move to Georgia. Well, if you heard the first part of the story, you might imagine what's coming next. At William & Mary, I was dancing 20 to 25 hours a week, and it was fine. At University of Georgia, I was dancing 35 hours a week, and it was not fine. I lasted a whole semester with a dance major at University of Georgia. And so then I thought, what do I do now? I looked at doing an interdisciplinary study between dance and drama, but they were in different colleges. Dance was in the College of Education, drama was in Arts and Sciences. So I ended up transferring and being a drama major. And at that time, University of Georgia had just opened something called the New Media Institute. And at the New Media Institute, that was where people were learning about websites and photo editing and all of the things that we take for granted these days. But back in the early 2000s, it was still pretty new. So I took classes in the New Media Institute, and I took classes in the drama department focused in media. So I learned HTML coding. I learned 2D and 3D animation. I learned motion capture and interactive performance media, all the things that kind of set me on the path that I'm on today. Along with all of this, I had two jobs when I was in college because I loved to work and do things. First, I became a bus driver. I got my CDL and I drove 40-foot buses around the University of Georgia, and it was a great job. The people were wonderful. It worked with your schedule. Highest paid job on campus. Then I heard, after I'd already taken this job, that a local Presbyterian church was looking for a youth director. And so, of course, I said, sign me up. And I went there and took all the training that I'd had in high school and put it to use working with the middle school and high school youth at that church. I also continued to lead retreats, speaking at youth conferences, leading recreation, and eventually got paired up with someone who was a partner of mine in all of these events. And it was really, really wonderful. And it was during that time that that call to seminary kept coming up. And people around me kept saying, well, Joe, you're going to seminary after college, right? And I was, no. You see, my sister was the one who was supposed to go to seminary. She was the one in Sunday school who had all the answers, raised her hand first, declared she was going to seminary. She has become a minister, but in the form of a math teacher. I think up until this point, and the tide may turn, but up to this point, I think she has probably reached more people than I have with her love and her grace and just her warmth of being. So as I'm discerning this call, people outside of me kept saying, you should go to seminary, you should go to seminary. And I just was so unsure. I didn't understand all the pieces of call, that some of them came from within and some of them came from without. And God spoke in all of those ways. I thought I had to have this fire within me that would tell me, yes, this is where you need to go. So in the absence of that, it took my mother saying, well, you know, seminary is graduate school. And if it's not right, you can always leave. And I thought, okay, sure, I can drop out of seminary. That is not a problem. Well, as you can imagine, I got there and I was working at a church while in seminary and going back to this Montreat Youth Conference. And the theme of the week was actually about call. They used that verse from Isaiah, and when the preachers were talking about call, they really named those three aspects, that God is the one who is doing the calling. We hear the call both within ourselves and from other people. And it was really at that moment that I thought, yes, I hear this call. Well, when I was in seminary, I fully lived into my geeky side. If you are a fan of Harry Potter, people would call me Hermione. I lived that out by TAing both Greek and Hebrew. I fell in love with the languages. I had never loved languages before that, but it was, they just spoke to me. Well, Greek happens in the summer from July and August. It's a 2-month program. And there's a certain order to seminary. It's a full three-year program. You don't get your summers off. After your first year, you're supposed to go work in a church. And after your second year, you're supposed to go do something called clinical pastoral education. Well, I TA'd Greek my first summer, which pushed my church work to my second summer, which pushed my CPE until after I graduated. And in the Presbyterian church, you can't be certified ready to receive a call. That's our fancy language. Until you've completed your CPE. Well, there was one more complicating factor. My family had planned a trip to Hawaii the summer after I graduated seminary. And I had to make a choice. Do I go and work 40 hours a week for 10 weeks at a hospital and watch my family go to Hawaii without me? Or do I go to Hawaii and figure it out? I figured it out. Hawaii was totally worth it. So I ended up doing my CPE as what they call an extended unit, going from September through May, working 10 hours a week at the hospital. I had quite a collection of odd jobs at the time, but it's amazing how God works through all these things. By staying in Raleigh and working at the hospital in this time, I would go out swing dancing every Sunday night. I started swing dancing in high school, and it's a great place to interact with people. It's very low stress. It brought me lots and lots of joy. Well, one night, a guy shows up, and he was kind of cute. And it turns out that he was an Episcopal priest at a local church. So people from his church were actually in my CPE program. And a couple weeks later, one of those folks says, "Hey, Joe, are you seeing anyone?" And I said, "Is this about BJ?" And he's like, no. I'm like, "Here's my number. Give it to him and tell him to call me." And he did. And we have been married for 15 years. Yeah. Now, I had plans to complete my CPE, be certified, ready to receive the call, and then look all across the country for a fabulous call. I got married instead and stayed local, but I found an amazing church in Raleigh that was looking for an associate pastor for youth and young adults, and I ended up working there for 3 years as I started my ministry. I was ordained November 11th. We talked about that. And with the verse that I read earlier, and my uncle is a composer, and so he wrote a song to go along with the verse for my ordination. And it was just, it was really one of the most treasured memories I have. During my time at that first church, I gave birth to our first child. And then BJ received a call to be the rector at a church in Greensboro. We had been in the Raleigh, North Carolina area up to that point, and then moved to Greensboro. Excuse me. When BJ and I were both serving at churches, we did a lot of pass the baby. We would literally meet in between our two churches in a parking lot and say, "Here's the child, it's your turn." So as you can imagine, that's not the best way to live life. And with his new call, we decided that it was a good chance for me to take a step back, him to focus on being a rector for the first time. And I ended up finding a job in an Episcopal church doing communications work. So taking the work I had done in college and putting it to good use. I also did media services when I was in seminary. So it all just started flowing together. And I learned so much from that church. My first real introduction on how to be an Episcopalian. So during that time working as a communications coordinator, we had our second child, and I started feeling the nudge to go back to a church. I had been leading a youth retreat one weekend, and I remembered sitting on the pier looking out over a lake and thinking, this is where I need to be. I need to be sharing God's word not through putting together bulletins and keeping up a website and running social media, but I need to be back serving people as a pastor. And again, God was with me, and a local church had a wonderful position available as an associate pastor, and I got to go and serve there for almost 4 years. During that time, I got sick. I was originally diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis and fibromyalgia. And if any of you have any chronic illness experience, you know, it's not a lot of fun. For some people, they react really well to medications. Mine kept things at bay in order to be able to function. But by the end of my time at Guilford Park, I'd be at work and then I'd be resting, and my quality of life had pretty severely gone downhill. So after struggling to balance ministry and family and my health, I eventually left that call and went back to communications in a church. And I ended up in a Baptist church, but one of the good flavors of Baptist. They were fun. So a little over a year after that, we ended up moving to Cleveland, Ohio, where my husband, BJ, serves as dean of the cathedral there. And our family took some time to get adjusted. We love Cleveland. It gets a bad rap, but it is a wonderful place. So come visit. We would love to see you. So we moved to Cleveland, and he started his work at Trinity Cathedral there. And for about a year, I continued to do communications work with a couple of different churches around the country and consulted with a few more. But during COVID, I accidentally started a business. I had plans to start a business. I just wasn't quite ready yet, or hadn't convinced myself that I was ready yet. But one of the churches I worked for said, hey, we would love a backpack tag for our kids, but we don't like what's out there right now. Could you design something for us? Here is our theme. So I put something together and sent it to them, and we went back and forth a little bit and came up with a final image. And I showed it to a few people who said, oh, I love that. How do I buy it? So I said, well, I'm going on vacation, but I will figure this out. So while I was on vacation, I figured out I already had a website sketched out, but to add this to my website, to figure out my email list, and to start taking pre-orders for a sticker. So on the Monday we got back, I sent out to everybody that I knew, posted it all over social media and said, hey, I've got these printable backpack tags, these stickers that you can order, and I wonder what'll happen. Well, I sold 11,000.
Wow.
It was far and away more than I had expected. And a friend of mine who knows a little bit about running her own business said, okay, well, you've done that. What's coming next? What's coming next? So I just started creating different materials that I could share with people. And they just started taking off. Before I published my first digital resource, I thought, you know, we are very much in this world of computers and we're all at home for COVID. I would love to be able for churches to reach people through this medium. So instead of just having printable booklets that people could take home, I created social media images to go with each day's reflections. This was a gratitude resource for the month of November, and it went like wildfire. And then I created an Advent one, and then I created a Lent one, and that one kind of went viral, and it was a big thing. At that point, I was still getting sicker. It was really wonderful to be able to work from home, to set my own hours, to be with my children when they needed me. But I needed to take some more steps to get my health in order. Thankfully, I took advantage of the world-class healthcare of the Cleveland Clinic and went to functional medicine, where after hours of interviews and hours more of paperwork and dozens of blood tests, it turns out that I did not have arthritis and fibromyalgia. I had Lyme disease and celiac. So I had to come off of immunosuppressant drugs. I had to go on to heavy antibiotics and lots of herbal supplements and all sorts of things, completely change a diet. I ended up getting sicker before I could get healthier. It was a pretty intense 3 months. And then it took about 6 months before I could actually feel a human being again. And over the next year, it took another full year after that before I actually regained health. But I am here to say that I am the healthiest I have been in a decade. Yes. And it is truly. So during this time, I became involved with the Second Breath Center, which is based out of Greensboro, North Carolina, and their work is based on the Christian wisdom tradition. Their motto, "Great Outer Work Comes from Great Inner Work," really resonated with me. And so I dove into everything they had to offer, taking their inward journey class and their facilitator training class. And I found that the more I paused to feel my connection with God in simple everyday moments, the more I'm able to feel God's presence and grace in the turbulent times. So I've been fortunate to be a facilitator on their behalf for a while, though this is taking up my time now. But last spring, BJ and I discerned together that it was time for someone else to start paying my salary. It can be a lot to earn your whole income. And maybe a week or two after we made that decision, I was on Facebook and happened to see Pastor for Digital Ministry at Washington National Cathedral. He got the same memo, and we sat at dinner together one night and said, "You know, that sounds like my dream job. Do you think they would take someone from Cleveland?" Since it's digital, we thought we'd give it a try. And I emailed and heard back that yes, indeed, they were willing to accept someone not from the DC area, since we were not planning to move. And it was an incredible summer of dreaming with the folks at the cathedral, imagining what is possible here, how we can connect with everyone who's online and around the country, around the world, and to share what we learn with the greater church. So it is my hope to extend the reach of the cathedral, to build this digital community, to offer means of formation and connection, because I've seen it happen in small ways. And so what are the ways that we can do it to this broader community? But in everything, I strive to show up in my work and life with compassion born out of times of turbulence, creativity to meet each challenge, and God's boundless love to share with each person I encounter.